I begin this morning a series of sermons meant to assist us in our journey through Lent to the cross of Jesus Christ, to the events of the cross, Jesus' death, and his resurrection. I personally like what C.S. Lewis has called this season of Lent. He writes, "Lent is the kind of season that brings us happiness and joy, but also makes us serious." Lent is exactly that kind of time. It is a time in which we are to be reflective, to practice meditation, the reading of Scripture, and prayer as we prepare ourselves for the events that come in Holy Week and the day of Easter. The first sermon in this series is entitled Crises in the Journey. The Scripture reading is the traditional reading for the first Sunday of Lent, Jesus' temptation in the wilderness that this year is read from Luke chapter 4, the first 13 verses. Let us give our attention to the reading and the hearing of God's holy word. Verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Here ends the reading of God's holy word, and to God's name be all glory and praise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. F.W. Borham, he is a well-known Baptist preacher of a century ago. He was best known in Australia and New Zealand and also England. As a matter of fact, in his older years, Billy Graham met him in Australia because Borham was so well-written and well-spoken. But he once wrote, "We make our decisions, and then our decisions turn around and make us." In other words, who we are in life is determined not by the ordinary flow of our days, but rather by the way we choose to respond to the crisis times of life. Those decisive moments that sometimes come along, those turning points, those marker events in our life. And that's the way it was for Jesus. We will discover in this series of sermons who Jesus is most clearly in the way he responds to the critical moments in his life. We come to understand who we are, in fact, much in the same way. A case in point for Jesus is this story of his temptation. These experiences we read about in the Gospel of Luke. There were three basic temptations, three tests that were given to him. And we shall look at them together in a moment. But before we do, let us bow in prayer as we continue this Lenten journey. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray in our prayers, lead us not into temptation. But when we do face temptation, help us to recognize it for what it is. And then, O Lord, strengthen us by your very word to resist even the tricks of the evil one, our adversary. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, in the crisis moments of our lives, you are always our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I read the story recently about the time in a parent's weekend at a local college town. College weekends, those are a time in which parents visit their son or daughter in college. And oftentimes, of course, the local hotel rates go sky high. I've experienced that. But this one owner of a popular campus pub, he decided to capitalize on this event, this parents' weekend. And so what he did, he took out an ad in the newspaper, which read this way. Attention students, bring your parents here for lunch this Saturday and we'll pretend we have never seen you before. Well, the college chaplain was on to this trickery, and so he cleverly, the next day, placed an article himself, and this is what it read. Attention students, bring your parents to chapel this Sunday. We'll pretend we see you every week. I say to you this morning, whether you are here for the first time, or just some of the time, or whether you are here every week, and perhaps even watch us online every week, I am glad that you are here. I hope you will be here each and every Sunday as we prepare ourselves to come to the events of the cross at the end of this Lenten season. I believe it's a time of serious preparation, a time of prayer, a time of the reading of scriptures as we come to that great day. And so I hope you will join us every Sunday. In our journey to the cross for today, we face this particular story of a crisis in Jesus' life in his encounter with none other than the devil. It is a story of significance in the life of Jesus. In fact, in several of the gospel accounts, this particular story comes after the baptism of Jesus, and that is also a significant marker event in Jesus' life. Because we remember at his baptism, he received one of the greatest confirmations he had ever received, not just privately, but publicly, because his Father God said on that occasion, after he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, he said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." It was a moment of confirmation. And this happens for us in life. Whenever we receive some fresh inspiration from God, whenever we perhaps achieve some measure of success, whenever things are going well for us, when those things happen, be very sure that temptation and evil can be just around the corner, coming at an opportune time when we least expect it. Briefly this morning, note with me this temptation of Jesus. This first one was for him to use his power selfishly. Now Jesus, we are told, had been in the desert for some time, 40 days, and he was there without food, he was there without any encouragement from anyone else. And then we are told at the end of those 40 days, Satan came and made his entrance on the scene, and he said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these desert stones to become loaves of bread." The devil was asking Jesus to use his divine power to turn these cold desert stones into warm, hot loaves of bread. And Jesus was mightily hungry, and a warm loaf of bread would have been very satisfying. I can almost smell it just now, can you? Is anyone getting hungry for lunch just now? Well, this was the temptation of Jesus to use his power for selfish purposes. But Jesus said to Satan, "It is written, one shall not live by bread alone." And with that answer, the first test was over. And so now the devil attacked from a different direction. The devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority. I will make you king of the world. If you will just worship me, it will all be yours." Again, the temptation was for power, but this time it was for earthly power. And we have seen in the news of people who are ruthlessly hungry for that kind of power, brutally so. The devil was trying to see what Jesus was made of. In the first temptation, it was as if he had scratched the surface of some sort of metal to see what it was made of, and now he pours acid on the metal to see if it is pure or not. But in the second temptation, Jesus would not usurp his Father's authority. Jesus answered him. He said, "It is written, the word, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And with that, test two was over. Next, he took Jesus to Jerusalem. Note how the temptation gets greater and greater each time. Satan has already struck out twice, three times, and you're out. And here is the third test. The devil said to him, as he took him up and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, where you can look down and see the Kidron Valley some 400 feet below, and anyone falling from that height, or dare I say jumping from that height, would surely die an awful death. But the devil said to Jesus, "If you are," notice the doubt placed in the mind, "if you are the Son of God, then jump from this spot, and before you hit the ground, God has commanded his angels to keep watch over you, and God's angels will rescue you." What a feat that will be. And again, the devil was trying to see what Jesus was made of, if he was really the very Son of God. He was trying to test him. He was trying to see if there was a soft spot within him, a weak spot. He does the same thing, by the way, with you and with me. And Jesus replied, note with me, to all three temptations with words that he had received from his devotion to Scripture. And Jesus, in this third test, he replied to Satan, "It is said, do not put the Lord to the test." And the Greek word that's used each time here for test is peratsmo, and it literally means a trial which puts someone or something under a test to try to see in that experience what it is made of. And then Luke tells us that the devil left and departed until a more opportune time. What the devil learned from this testing of Jesus is that he was the very Son of God. During those long 40 hot days and 40 long cold nights in that desert, the devil learned that no matter how he tested Jesus, Jesus was the genuine article. And as we continue our journey to the cross during this Lent, it is a time for us to examine ourselves. to discover what we are made of. And so I ask you during this particular time as we come, and we will day soon, one day soon we'll come on Good Friday to the cross that is placed here on the chancel, and we will stand before that cross. And when you do, ask yourself from this journey, what am I made of? To whom do I belong? I want to close this morning by telling you a very simple story and then asking you to consider some implications from this unique story. In a book I read many years ago, I am a fan of Carlo Coretto. He is a desert monk. He writes very homespun. He writes about his journey in the desert, his temptation, if you will. It's good devotional literature, and he is a deeply spiritual Christian writer, this desert monk. I'm so glad I was introduced to him years ago. He tells us a simple story, and I believe this simple story speaks to each one of us and helps us to examine our own motives and our own choices that we make. This is what Coretto shares. He said, "In my simple community of Christian brothers, the other day there wasn't much coffee left in the tin. Coffee does me good, especially in the desert. I am old. I do not like to go through a day feeling dull, and coffee helps me to feel alive and focused. But that morning when I went into the kitchen and I drank the little bit of coffee that was left, and there was no more. Afterwards, after feeling guilty because I had drank the coffee that was for my other two brothers as well that I share goods with, that evening, having felt selfish and guilty all day, I said my prayers to God. And I confessed the ease at which I had shamelessly excluded my other two brothers for whom I share supplies. And while it seems like a tiny thing for me to have used the last few bitter coffee beans for myself, yet in that cup of coffee I had taken, I realized I had not shared it with my other two brothers. And then I realized it. In that act is the root of all the evil that disturbs our world. That act contained the poison of all the arrogance that we see in the world of selfishness, greed, riches, and power." And then Coretto finishes the story in this way. "The difference between me and Jesus was right there. It seems simple, but it isn't at all. That experience is still there in my mind to make me, and I hope to you as I write these words, to think on the question, what would Jesus have done? I believe Jesus would have left that little bit of coffee. He would have left it for his brothers. I, on the other hand, did not." I want to share with you, I like this story a lot. I have read it over the years in my own devotions. It shows to me how such a small, seemingly insignificant thing reveals a great truth about us as human beings all over the world. I also like this story because I love coffee in the morning. But this story, it reveals who we are as individuals in our own journeys at times. It also reveals who we are as individuals, as nations, and as countries at times. The temptation that we face, that every human being faces on this planet, in this life, is to always love self first before God and others. That is the temptation always before us. And Coretto, a deep and devout spiritual Christian, for whatever reason that day, with that little bit of coffee left, he gulped it down when no one was looking. And all of us are tempted to do the same. And so the test, you see, the crises, when they come, they reveal what we are made of. And the implications are just gigantic. They are implications for our present time and for all eternity. And so as we follow Jesus, as we follow him to his death on the cross, and as we come to the table of our Lord this day, we discover, once again, do we not, that no amount of testing Jesus could make him put himself before us. He never put himself before you or me, and he tells us that at the table. And at the times of testing in your journey, you can discover who you really are. And so choose this day whom you will serve, for you are children of God. May it be so. Amen.